What's good, everybody? It's your boy, Hans.
And this is Tristan.
Welcome to the Hans and Tristan podcast. Thank you guys for joining us again. Tristan, how have you been?
I have been wonderful. It is officially my birthday month.
Oh, boy.
So, you know, I'm ready. And this fall, so it's like getting nippy.
Give the people the date so they can know when to send you the Cash App. Go ahead.
The celebratory situation begins from October 1. To October 31st, but my actual birth is October 14th. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I receive all gifts, cash, money, order. Yeah, I'm open.
Okay. So, and yeah, you heard it. So it goes through the whole month, apparently.
The whole month. It's never too late to gift me anything.
I don't understand why you ladies do that. Like, why do you hijack the whole month? Like,
because it makes room for people who forget, one. And then two, it's like, you know, for me, you know, I celebrate here and I celebrate in D.C. So I need to expand that time just in case people want to continue to celebrate me. I'm open to it. And the same reason you guys don't tell people it's your birthday. The same exact reason.
I mean the same exact reason.
Because y'all don't tell people. It is.
It's not the same exact reason. It's just... it's not a big deal for me. That's how it is for me. It's, you know, okay, it's my birthday, that's what's up. Like, it's cool. I don't, you know, I don't make a big deal of too much outside of basketball. So
that is very true. But still, I make a big deal about me, because if I don't,
who will? I get it. I'm not mad at it. So I know we took a week break, so there's a couple topics we definitely want to get caught up on. First and foremost, which we won't spend too much time on because I don't think he deserves that much of our attention. Tristan, Tory Lanez. Right. Tory Lanez dropped an album. I think it was the day actually after they announced I don't want to say verdict, but basically the day after the Breonna Taylor, when they said that they weren't going to charge them. Right. He dropped his album, and I guess that's his response to what happened between him and Meg. I didn't listen to it. I only read reports and articles of what was said about it, because I didn't want to give him not 1 second of a stream that could be misconstrued for support.
Exactly.
Or put money in his pockets.
You know, Genesis told me about it, and then you kind of reinforced it with the article you sent me. You know, okay. At the end of the day, like I said to you off air, as a Black mm-hmm. woman, you're not really surprised, because at the end of the day, you know, especially me, as I get up there in age, I understand how some men would rather play the victim than actually apologize, because apologizing is too much, like, right. And to me, that's bananas, because at the end, like, why are you rather put more energy into dropping an album to mm-hmm. defend yourself as opposed to apologizing? So you're trying to benefit off of what I went through.
And that's the part that to me was very, very despicable, because that's the only word I can really think that does what he did justice. It's despicable. So you're, just like you said, you caused trauma. And now you're turning around trying to benefit off of the same trauma that you caused. Make that make sense. And it's problematic on so many levels. It's problematic on just the surface level of you causing abuse and dishing out abuse, right? And then given the climate of things that we're going to, this is your own people that you're causing abuse to.
Right. This will be your homie.
Right. Exactly. And then to take it up a notch, you're going to go and benefit and try to profit out of said abuse that you have caused. So there are so many levels to this. And I know we spoke on this off air, but I honestly was surprised that he took this route, because I think that's the dumbest route to take. And it shows that you really don't care about what you did. You don't care about her. You don't care about how it looks. And you don't care about the message that you're putting out there for Black men and Black people in general. All you care about is your perception, how you're going to handle this, and how you feel in regards to the situation. You care not about Megan, about Black women, or Black people, honestly, because this is not something, this is not a moment that we're proud of. This is going down as a negative mark in our history books.
But this just shows me, like, even us not knowing the full details of what happened, this shows me who was really responsible, because even after the fact, Megan has yet to try to retaliate against him. She has yet to even tell anybody the whole story. Well, she did say, well, he did shoot me, but she has yet to tell anybody the whole story. Like, she's like been like mum's the word. And as soon as he get a moment to motherfucking come up for air, here he go pointing a finger and doing all this reckless ass shit to kind of continue on with the incident and disrupt her healing. So not only are you not apologizing, but now you're also trying to disrupt my healing and gain profit from it. So if you're willing to do all this, you already showed me your character. I don't need to know what happened because I already see what type of person you are. You're selfish, you're self-centered, and you don't give a fuck about nobody, and you're reckless and emotional.
Mm-hmm.
That's enough said right there. That's a bad fucked up combination.
Nah, facts. And you're right. She hasn't retaliated. She hasn't even pressed charges on her end.
Exactly.
And people are trying to use that as ammunition for if it really happened. Just because somebody chooses not to press charges does not mean that wrongdoing didn't occur, as evident by all the injustices that are happening out there in the Black community. So just because charges weren't filed does not mean a crime wasn't committed or wrongdoing has not transpired. So please right. miss me with that. And like you said also off air, is that you're not surprised by so many men who are jumping in Meg's comments and questioning what happened and everything like that. People are saying, yeah, when he proves he's innocent and everything like that. For me, that just seems very insensitive and ludicrous at the same time, because if you think about it, Meg, what does she have to profit from lying on Tory? Is Tory that much of a big name for what she needs to profit
on?
She's
know
literally
him before her.
She's literally the hottest thing out there right now. She's the hottest female rapper, or arguably the rapper period, who's making waves right now. She doesn't need to profit off of Tory's name. And for him, in his music, to try to spin a narrative of Meg being jealous and enraged Black woman, like the stereotype
but
that
goes
on. But
that's what we deal with. Like, think about it. Think about it. Like, how many, you know, male friends you've had try to spin the same narrative about one of their exes or baby mothers or whatever. Like, hell, I had my own baby father going around telling everybody I was, and I had a client, like, you know what I'm saying? I don't give a fuck what people think about me. Like, at the end of the day, like, that's just me personally. But it's hard because then people wonder why, like, oh, well, if you were raped or beat, why you ain't say nothing sooner? Because it doesn't matter when I do speak up, because the reality is, it's my word against his. And there's always going to be this boy band fucking mentality where some men will literally follow other men blindly. Like, nah, he ain't do that shit. What? You wasn't even there, nigga.
Right.
But it's always that. It's like, you're not even just fighting against this person. It's like, you have to prove your innocence. And that shit gets draining, which is why you have so many people who are victims who don't speak up, because not only is it draining for me to have to defend myself, but you're also forcing me to relive that situation over and over and over.
Facts. And it's just crazy how they lose context. They just never... they never try to really understand and put themselves in the other person's shoes to see how there actually could be a viable reason why they're not doing or doing what they're said. And it's troubling. It really is. So I know I shared with you an article from Complex, who basically did a great job, honestly, in dealing with the situation, basically saying that Tory's album is problematic in many ways. And I just want to quote this excerpt from this article, because I think it really speaks to Black people, period. And it's really the last paragraph, and the author is Andre G. He works for Complex magazine, and he says, quote, Black people's trauma is industrialized. We die and we don't get justice, but we get documentaries. Now Black women get shot and receive denial albums while they're trying to heal.
Yep.
Daystar is the epitome of capitalism's amorality. That's why Black women everywhere are making demands to dismantle our existing social constructs and imagine a new world, to get rid of the power dynamics that allow for gross, exploitive displays like this. And I thought that put it in such great words, because this is really the problem that we have. And the first sentence is really it for me. Black people's trauma is industrialized. Mm-hmm. Like, that to me was it. And Tory is perpetuating that cycle. That's what he's doing.
And he doesn't even realize that. And I think that's the bad part when, and I say this all the time as a Black woman, it's such a fucked up feeling that not only do you have to go out and slay dragons, right, to try to get ahead, but you not only, but you also have to fight against the Black man that's sitting next to you, that's laying next to you. And that's a really fucked up feeling, because it's like, so where are we safe? Where is our safe haven? And who is looking after us? And it's literally nobody.
Exactly.
But then y'all expect us to be like, oh, well, why are you so angry? I have fucking every right to be angry. And then on top of that, it's like, you're constantly accusing me. As soon as I speak up, then I, like you said, I'm the angry Black woman, and I'm this, and I'm that. And it's just like, you get tired of this shit. You just get tired of it.
No, definitely. And so, you know, to end this segment, the foolishness that he's doing, we don't condone. I personally never really liked him as an artist. I thought he was... I'm trying to be nice, but I just thought he was really simple-minded. So his...
Just prove that case.
Yeah, yeah, he really is. He's not creative at all. He's just simple-minded.
But he's not creative because he's sitting here literally trying to boost his career off of this situation.
Right, and he's showing patterns of the same, because his last album, Mixtape, whatever, he literally, what he did was take a bunch of hits and remix them. So it's like, you're going to listen to it off of the old hit, not of what anything that you did. You get what I'm saying? So you're benefiting, again, off of other people's. So I guess
he's like a Jacquees. Ain't his name Jacquees?
Yes, yes.
So he's like the rapping version of Jacquees.
Basically.
Yeah, ooh, child.
So I guess he showed us his pattern to begin with. We just didn't see it in this context. So
right, but then you got to think about, okay, so why are all these Black men supporting this fuckery? I think that's what bothers me the most, because those Black men who are supporting them are the same ones that are amongst us.
Well, I think it goes, if you want to dive deep into it, I think it goes to the insecurity that comes with seeing a Black woman on top.
And that's the thing, is like, how can you hate Black women so much? Like, we ain't do shit to you. We ain't do shit but try to live. So my existence bothers you that much. I read something where a chick was saying, she was like, you know, Black men hate women but love pussy. And I'm just like, and sometimes you feel that. Like when you're dealing and interacting, right? When you're dealing and interacting with like a Black man who does not, like who's a womanizer or a manipulator, like you can tell, like you're like, nigga, who hurt you? Do you have mommy issues? Like, what is really going on?
It's facts. It's facts, though. And it's, like I said, it's very complex, and we'll have to dedicate a whole show to it. But there's a lot that's really there, and there's a lot that's socialized into these men as well. Because let's be real, it's not often we see strong Black women uplifted in our media content unless it's something that's specifically geared towards that, right? So it's not often you see that. It's not often you go on a corporate website and they're uplifting. You know what I'm saying?
When we do have Black women like Michelle, who is like those, you know, idols, you always find somebody, whether, you know, the white culture, the Black man, whatever, who's willing to go and demolish that and try to tear it down, or, you know, pick out some kind of flaws. Right. And it's like, right. God damn, like, you literally gotta be a motherfucking, a walking Mother Teresa to not motherfucking get any backlash, and that shit is stupid. But I'm supposed to just accept all this bullshit. As a Black woman, I just was accept it and just be like, oh, okay with it. No.
Right. Definitely. So moving on to another Black woman who didn't get justice, Breonna Taylor. So a couple weeks ago, the grand jury decided that they weren't going to file charges and that they didn't see enough evidence to conclude as such. But so much has transpired since then that we thought it was worth having a discussion and update about. So recently what's happened is that, of course, that... I'm trying to be nice here again. This guy, the DA, Cameron, sounded real, real... coonish. I'm sorry. He sounded real coonish, real Uncle Tomish. Yeah. And when you got Trump quoting you, you know you're on the wrong side of things.
Right.
That's all I'm going to say there. If Trump is quoting you in his press conference, you're not on the right side of things. But that's just my opinion. Take it for what you want.
Yeah, I think that is a very valid point you just made. If Trump supports you or agrees with you, then you fucked up.
So he was saying that, you know, there wasn't enough evidence, and the evidence that we saw shows that Brianna's boyfriend fired first. And literally the next day after that, or 2 days after that, I would say, ballistics came out saying that wasn't the case. And more evidence started to mount against video of the body cams came out
as well. That they claimed they didn't have.
Exactly. So that was showing other things, that the Louisville PD violated a lot of their own procedures during that raid too. So a lot of it started to come out, and people were asking for this to be released. But what really tipped the hand was one of the jurors petitioned to say, hey, can I violate my confidentiality agreement so I can speak? Because I feel like what's being presented out in the media is not what's being presented to us, and they need to know the true light of the evidence and how it's presented. So Cameron, pulling a whole Trump move, basically was like, yeah, I'm going to go ahead and release this, you know, trying to make it like it was a good faith thing. Bro, come on. We really know you were being pressured. All this evidence was coming on mounting against.
They said that they didn't even have the option to go for murder charges in the case. Like, yeah, that wasn't even put on the table. First, let's start with the fact that, like, 11 people said that they did not even announce that they were fucking police when they bust in someone's house. So to me, that's trespassing, and I have every fucking right to shoot at you first. Okay, let's start there. Second, then you tamper with the body camera. I could have sworn when you tamper with evidence, that's a fucking crime. That alone, I mean, I'm sorry. What the fuck? And then you're at the wrong house. On top of that, that's negligence. God damn, what more do we need? What more do we need? What more do we fucking need?
We're gonna need a lot more to get these cops. That's what it basically is. That's
of course, of course. And to me, it's just like, it's fucking asinine. It's just, it's crazy. It is. And like I said, it's just another black man shitting on fucking a black woman. Period. Even in death, we can't even rest in peace.
At all. So, I think it was yesterday. Yeah, Friday. They released 20 hours of tapes of this with no transcripts, of course. So you're going to have to listen to the whole 20 hours to figure out. But from the New York Times and another source, which I forgot, they've started to go through it, and they started to list some things that are problematic. And they were saying that the jurors were very inquisitive. Like, they started to question the prosecutors about, wait, why is this not happening? Why didn't you do this? What's going on here? And they were saying that the prosecutors kept like circumventing their questions and trying to turn around and saying, no, you don't need to worry about that. So see they had their own motives and intentions going in, and they weren't really searching for the truth. And that's what it was. The New York Times was saying you could see the jurors were actually searching for the truth.
Because that's why you brought me here, right?
Exactly.
That's what you brought me here for.
Exactly.
But you don't want the truth. Right. Mm-hmm. You want to alter the story for your own self gain. And it's just like, again, this is just a mimic of Tory Lanez bullshit. You want to alter the story for your own self gain. You want to tarnish whatever the fuck actually happened and the truth. You want to hide that because we know you fucked up.
Exactly.
So for jurors to say that, imagine how many other fucking times. And that's why I say when we talked the other time, this is not about like defunding the police. This is about dismantling the whole system altogether.
Mm-hmm. That's what it is. And people misconstrue that all the time. The system is not working for us. It never has. It wasn't built for us anyway. But clearly, it's not working. And I said this on my other shows that, like, what troubles me is, like, how many other people who didn't have the benefit of the notoriety that Breonna Taylor had have been abused by this system.
Oh, so, yes.
You get what I'm saying? So this is why we're holding on to this. It's don't get me wrong. Breonna Taylor lives matter. It does. Her life does matter. You get what I'm saying? She lost her life innocently, so don't get me wrong. But we're also doing this for all the other people who were taken advantage of by this system as well. So we're, of course, riding this wave of notoriety of what's going on with Breonna Taylor, but she stands for so much more. You get what I'm saying? Just like for everybody else, they stand for so much more. They stand for a community of people who have been taken advantage and abused by this system. So that's why we're harping on this. So it's not just that particular person. It's we're standing for all those people who you don't know, who we don't have footage about, right? Because think about Ahmaud Arbery, right? Down in Brunswick, Georgia. It would have never got this way if they didn't get the footage. If they didn't get the footage.
And I remember you saying months ago, it's like, so if there's no footage, then what?
Exactly.
Like, if there's no story, if there's no headline, then what? Because these people, like, the names we have are just names of the ones we know of.
Mm-hmm.
What about the ones we don't know of? I promise you, the ones we know of are only probably a small percentage of actual people who die by the hands of the police.
Exactly.
And that's so fucked up. The same people who protect us.
Exactly. So that's why we're holding on to this. And we're, you know, we're not letting her name fade to black like so many other names have done. And I think, honestly, given that so much is being, you know, brought to light on this, I'm hoping that it gets taken to a higher entity and it's reopened again, and that we can really try to get, like, you, I think it's so stupid. You didn't even think this was worth going to trial. Like, it's like you said, how much more do you need? Like, that is asinine within itself.
Right, and my thing is, think about it like this, right? Even if she did not die, right? Let's just reflect on that. At some point, you got to think about the motherfucking judge who signed off on a warrant that was at the wrong address, the police officer who brought the wrong address to even be put in a warrant. Motherfucker, you took your body camera. Like, all these things, at some point, you got to look at the structure in-house shit and be like, okay, so something went wrong. We got to fucking figure this shit out. And then come to find out, 2 years prior, those same police officers had a same mishap. Unfortunately, no one died. I mean, fortunately, no one died. But still, it's just like, you're a reckless police officer. Where are the checks and balances?
Right. No, I agree. And that's why I think what you said before is very important. The system is in question here. So it's not a manhunt or a witch hunt for these officers. No, we're hunting the system. That's right. What we're trying to dismantle, the system. Just like with George Floyd, with the Minneapolis PD, that's what we're hunting down. It's the system. Just like you said, this man had multiple infractions. George Floyd wasn't the first person he did wrong. It's in his record. He had a history of that. So just like you said, he has a higher help who saw this and continued to put him out there in the streets and let it go. He had coworkers who seen this and continued and didn't file a report who let it go. So it's the system that we're trying to dismantle and hunt down, not the particular person. Of course, they should be held accountable, but the system, to me, should be held in the utmost accountability. Exactly. Because that's what is facilitating all of this.
Right.
So
and I definitely agree with you. As people, we have every right to question that, because if this system is put in place, one, by my tax money, and then two, it's supposed to be put in place to protect and serve me, I should be privy to this information. Just like for us, like if we have our license, you could go online and look us up and see if we had any complaints filed against us or whatever the case may be against that. So why can't we have that same system for the police officers? Like every police officer, I should be able to go. It should be public information and public knowledge. And I should be able to pull that up and see exactly what the fuck is going on. It should be a level of transparency, but it's not.
Facts. But we definitely wanted to update you guys on that. So it's looking like we're busting this. All the little cracks are being revealed and bringing out. I just hope that it leads to something more. So yes, you know, we've seen the mishaps, the blatant cover-ups, the blatant misinformation that's been provided to the media. What are we going to do about it? And that's what I'm looking for right now. I'm looking for something else to be done, because we can't just let this sit here with things being released showing the contrary and not do anything about it. So right. I hope something is done. And that's what I'm looking for. Like, what's next? What are we going to do next?
Mm-hmm.
Moving on to our next story. You heard about your president?
He got the Rona.
The Rona. So it was announced yesterday or the day before that 45 has tested positive for COVID-19. And I'm with you, too. So for those who don't know, there's this thing called the October Surprise. And it's basically a political tool that's used in politics, where, especially in the presidential races, because those are the most big ones, those are the ones that are most publicized and seem to be most influential. So the October Surprise is something that occurs sometimes naturally, but most often it's a planted event to sway voters from one candidate to another, but it's supposed to seem like it's spontaneous or an event that occurred independent of the upcoming election. But it's called an October surprise. So it's usually something that happens that occurs and causes a big shift in voter alliance. And I think this is a perfect October surprise for 45. It's something that's within his wheelhouse to use something, right, that he's been hating on and trying, and that has been a bane of his existence. You get what I mean? It has been his negative tick mark through his whole presidency, how he's handled this. Now he's dropped the ball on this. But for him to contract this and be the victim, which is similar to Tory Lanez. But anyway, so to use this, right, something that you mishandled, to use it as something off of would seem to be in his wheelhouse and something that he would handle perfectly. So right. I'm with you. I believe that if he does have it, he's going to use it. But I honestly think that some of this is staged, and they're actually showing that some of it is. Did you see the picture he posted? So his camp released a picture of him in this kind of like office signing papers, saying even though he's not feeling well, he's still hard at work. And other people blew that figure. They're like, this is staged. Those papers are blank and he has a Sharpie. So what is he hard at work doing?
Right, but my thing is, why even do all that, right? Like, why even go to those lengths and excess? It's like, and this is why no one believes you, because you do shit like this. You stage shit to try to play on people's psyche to motherfucking paint a picture, right? Mm-hmm. He's so focused on painting this picture and this illusion as opposed to giving us the real. And that's the shit I fucking hate. All three of those stories are what is similar. In regards to, they don't want us to see the truth. They want us to see what the fuck they want us to see.
Right, but think about it, though. As American society has shown, what are we more concerned with? The story. The titillation. That's what we go for. That's the vibe. We always go for the story. Think about it. What sells records, right? The Confessions album with Usher. That wasn't Usher. That was Jermaine Dupri's issue. But we loved it, though. We loved the story.
Right, but that was just a story that didn't affect us. It was just gossip. It's like reading a fucking Take Six.
But we love it, okay? We love it. That's what sells. That's why it's an October surprise. That's why it swings. Because think about what's happening right now on news coverages. They're covering Trump every minute about his recovery and what's going on. It's no longer about how he's mishandled this pandemic. You get what I'm saying? It's no longer about how during his debate, he told the Proud Boys to stand by rather than to denounce the white supremacy. You see how it's shifting it now. So it's no longer about how he's done and fumbled the ball. It's more about, is he going to make this through? How is he going to pull through? You get what I'm saying? So it's giving him kind of like a reset to kind of go. And it's taking light off of Biden. It really is. Like, it's freaking... It's so funny how... We are, like, I always used to get mad when they used to term, like, people are sheep, right? But it's so infuriating how we really are. It's so infuriating how we always take things as what they're presented to us as, and we don't dig deeper, right? We just take it for face value, and we don't see how, okay, he has a history of turning everything to and misconstruing it to his benefit. Why would COVID be offline? He's already naming it the China virus. He has a beef with China. So that's to his benefit. So him contracting it, you think that's going to be out of bounds? Nothing is out of bounds for this man.
This is the issue I have. If I have to question what comes out your mouth, you don't deserve to be president. You don't deserve to be president, because to me it's like it's something so simple, right? Because this goes beyond, like, laws, bills, and who you're going to appoint to Supreme Court, blah, blah, blah. This is about, I don't fucking trust you. And you're representing me. Again, these are people who are supposed to represent us. And I don't trust you. Now, if Obama said, oh, I got COVID, would we not believe him?
Of course.
Exactly. So at the end of the day, that speaks volumes about this motherfucker's character. So why in the world, COVID or fucking not, the fact that I even question you says a lot about you and the pattern you set with me. You gotta fucking go. COVID or not.
I hope that's what happens, man. For those out there, get out and vote, please. Get out and vote. Early voting starts October the 12th.
And you can still send in your ballot. I got mine in the mail.
Yes, you can do your mail-in ballot. If you're registered to vote, you go online, you request a ballot, then you answer a couple questions to verify that you are registered to vote, and they send it to you. So, guys, please and understand, early voting. I'm actually going to participate in early voting for the first time this year because I don't have time for the shenanigans of voter suppression because that is real.
Oh, yeah, because that I told you last time I was in line for 4 hours, still couldn't get to the machines, then had to come back later and had to wait another 2 hours because four of the seven machines were down. Ironically, four of the seven fucking machines was down. Like, so come on now, what about the people who left because they were in line all day and they had to get back to work or whatever and couldn't come back?
Right.
So I'm with you. Like, yeah, I ain't going to send my ballot there. All of a sudden you lose it or some shit. Like, nah, I'm going to be there in line. But again, I should be able to trust the process. I shouldn't have these problems. I shouldn't feel a way about going doing my American shit like voting.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that we cannot trust the system speaks a lot about the system and what it has done to us over the years.
Exactly. Facts. So guys, don't forget, if you're going to do your absentee ballot or mail-in, definitely do that. Early voting. Don't wait till the last minute. You see how crazy things are right now. Don't do it. And me, listen, the ultimate procrastinator. I am chief, but I'm going to do early voting because I don't want any chance. And voter suppression is real. It's not as real as they making it out to be, actually, voter fraud, as they're bringing it up to be. That's actually very low percentage, but suppression is actually very real.
So I think it's with black fraud, right? Like, if you got the audacity to steal somebody's fucking goddamn identity, the first thing you want to go do is vote.
Right.
No, I'm going to go get some credit cards in your name. I'm going to buy me a mink
coat.
That's
what it is. But
I'm going to do some other shit. But you're going to sit here and make it seem like, no, we can't because of fraud. Really?
Right. That's a propaganda, though, from that side, because they want to discourage you. And they want to make it harder to vote. That's really what it is. That's what it's a veil for. But voter fraud is actually a percentage, like a low percentage of occurrence compared to anything else in the world. Actually, I was reading something like there's a higher chance of the earth being hit by a meteor than like.
That's what I said. If I'm going to steal my identity, really, it ain't like, going to be the fucking vote.
Right. Like, let me go steal this identity to vote. Right.
Please. But again, the games, the shenanigans, the propaganda, all that shit. And us Americans have to deal with all this fuckery.
Day in and day out. So, you know, it's one thing after another. I just can't wait to see what happens.
That's why I stay in the house. But if he does have it, would it not be a beautiful... sign that the universe is listening and karma is real? Would that not be? And I feel like if he did have it, he intentionally gave it to his wife because he probably like, nah.
You think so?
Hell yeah. He that kind of motherfucker.
Yo, I'm not gonna lie. When they said she had it, I'm like, but she won't even really be around him
she
like that.
She didn't bang with him, so how'd she get it? He's like intentionally gave it to her.
Like, I was like, this seems fishy. And also, you know, now they're coming out, like, all these people that were at this Rose Garden thing, they're saying they got it now. And
these
supposed to be all his boys, though. Like, that doesn't further give me any solace. Like, that's your boys. You could be like, yo, jump on this train with me. Like, it doesn't give me any more solace. Like, I still feel like you're still using this to your advantage. Like,
that's
I don't believe
bullshit.
You need
I don't
more
believe
people.
Shit. Listen, I don't believe a motherfucking thing he say. That's just who I am as a person. Like, he's just horrible.
But hey, he's who we got, and he's the reason why we have to vote. Because at the end of the day, I'm just over him right now. We need something new. We need something new. So, but on our last topic before we close. School has started down here in the Atlanta area in Georgia. It's been really mixed. It's really been depending upon what county you live in and how they chose to go about things. Because, you know, we can't get on the same page.
Right.
Because we can't get on the same page for everything here. It's never going to happen. So I know some schools have decided to go back to face-to-face. Some are still doing virtual learning. So as a parent, Tristan, who you have a child who goes to school, what are your thoughts of some schools saying, you know what, it's time to go back to face-to-face?
Let me tell you something. So, you know, here school started with like August 17th, something around that time, somewhere around the teens, August teen, whatever. So we've been in school about a month and a half at this point. And then I get hit with an email probably like 2 weeks ago, like, oh, we're going to start phasing kids back into school and we're going to, you know, do it alphabetically, right? So they come, you know, one for day one, and we're going to see how that goes. And we're going to start with the letter A through G. And, you know, my child's last name begins with an A.
A, yeah.
Who fuck baby about to go up into school? Yeah, let me tell you something. You know, as soon as I read that email, you know what that reminds me of? You know, back in the day when they used to dig in little mines and stuff, and they used to send a canary bird in that motherfucker to see, oh, if the canary don't die, then it's cool.
Then it's cool, right.
Nah,
right.
You're not going to use my baby as no motherfucking canary. Or no bird or whatever the fuck ever, or no little hamster or gerbil to sit here and see, like, she ain't no test dummy. Like, she's not, right? And that to me bothers me. So now that's how that started. And they phased throughout the whole alphabet. They got probably like, I think about 200 kids back into the building throughout this whole situation. And now they're saying that October 14th, they're trying to have the entire school building, shout out to my birthday, October 14th, or whatever.
I was about to say, are you going to shout it out?
I didn't want to make it about me, but, you know, trying to stay focused. So they're going to try to put these kids all back into the building, all of them, A through Z, right? And to me, I'm just like, I cannot take that. So you have, as a parent, you have the option to opt out where your child can just stay virtual because, as mind you, as they're phasing these kids into the building, right? The teachers are still teaching virtually. So even the kids in the building still have to bring their laptops to look at the lesson online as the teacher's in front of them. Because again, so that just shows me, they're not bringing you into this building for educational purposes. They're bringing you into this building as a test dummy to see if they can control the dynamic and flow of the building, as well as keep and suppress this virus. Not my baby. So I opted out for her to stay online for the remaining of the semester. And then as a parent, you also understand that when school starts, it's a massive cootie spread throughout.
Wow.
Listen, every parent knows this. The first, soon as fall hit, everyone gets sick. Everyone gets sick. The flu, stomach virus, shit spread like wildfire. And that's just what it is. So we're going to avoid not only the cooties, but also Corona. I'm sorry. We're staying home. But I also say, like I said to you before, I understand my privilege and I understand that I have the luxury to do that as a parent. And every parent doesn't have that luxury. I understand that. My child's in high school. She's a junior. Like, she's self-sufficient with her education. So thank God I don't have to help her with a math because we all would fail. You know, I don't have to wake her up. And like, so I understand my luxury and I get to work from home. Every parent doesn't have it like me. I get it. But at some point, again, the educational system has to value life. And I can't say life over learning because this is not even a learning environment. Like, this is just getting kids back in the building so we can justify them being back in the building.
Right. So with me, I have issue with the options not being given in some schools. So like we were talking about off air, we listed like three or four different counties who are doing it differently. So one county, Paulding County, I hear didn't even give people the option really. They said, oh, everybody's going back face to face after a certain amount of time. Whereas some counties said, hey, we're opening it for some. If they want to go face to face, they can. Others, if they want to stay virtually, that's fine too. We'll give you both options. There'll be teachers there. And for those who are virtually, you know, they can sign in. There'll be a camera set up. They can see the teacher. Boom, boom, boom. And for me, I, just like you, understand the privilege that we have, right? So I don't work at home, but I also have a job to where I can basically say, hey, I need to work this schedule and they'll accommodate me, right? And make things. So if I had a child, of course, I'll do what I need to do because I wouldn't feel comfortable letting you go face to face, given what's going on. We don't know what this next wave is going to be, what these cold months are going to bring. We are so, there's so much that's unsure of that I don't want to take that risk. But then, like you said, we're privileged. So there are other people who are really working who don't have a child that's self-sufficient like you do, right? Who doesn't have a job where they can make their own hours or stay at home. So they have to go and they can't just stop work. So I would just hope that schools would understand the community that they serve, because that's what they're doing. They're serving the community. I hope educators know that. Like, this, you're serving the community. So I would hope that they would set up systems in which these kids can benefit. Because I was talking to someone where they were saying they were having issue with the school because the school was mandatory at that time, everybody do virtual learning, but not giving people devices or giving them opportunities or access to resources so they could even attend virtual learning. Because I started to think about when I was seeing clients out in the community, some of them would have to walk a mile to the library just to do research or just to have access to a computer. So you want them to do virtual learning? You get what I'm saying? So it's like these school systems and school boards need to start understanding the communities that they serve and the options that serve them the best. So you can't just make a unilateral decision for what works best for you.
And most of the people who are making decisions, their kids don't even go to public school.
Right. It needs to be what works best for the communities that we're in and what we serve. And it's unfortunate that we're not seeing that. There's only a couple counties who are even thinking like that. Like, look, nah, we're going to give you the option. We get it. Some of y'all can't have your kids stay at home. That's cool. We'll do face-to-face. But some of y'all who don't want, we got the virtual. And that's kind of the mindset that it needs to be. But honestly, though, just like we're seeing, I don't know if you follow sports, but no. Okay, got it. Just like we're seeing with the NFL that just started back, we're seeing some COVID pop-ups. I'm scared of what we're going to see with these kids, right? Cam Newton.
I only know him because he got pretty, pretty, pretty teeth. That's the only reason I know him. I'm like, ooh, he got a nice smile. Who is that?
Right. He's from down here.
I know. The road over here.
The road by your house.
Is named after him. Hello, Cam. Holla at your girl. But no, I feel you on that, because Genesis School, like, they have the financial means to give all kids laptops. They give all of them tablets. And they were doing it before COVID anyway. Like, that was just their thing. Mm-hmm. All the kids got tablets. Microsoft tablets or whatever. So they have that luxury. But one thing about, I like Markeisha. Atlanta Public Schools, I got this email saying that now all Atlanta Public Schools, they're using the parks and recreations as learning hubs. So for parents who can't, like, you know, right, watch their kids or don't have internet or don't have, you know, laptops, they can go to the rec center and stay there all day and get their learning done.
No, and that's great. I was actually listening to a story on NPR. Yes, I'm old. Where there was a university who did the same thing. They turned their parking lot into like a Wi-Fi hotspot for those students who didn't have access to that, you know, so they could go in and they could park or sit in that, you know, that lot and have access to the resources that they need. And to me, those are communities that are really connected, though, to the people that they serve. And it's crazy how that's not a more common thing. That's what's problematic about it. That's what's crazy about it. So shout out to those that are doing it, and shame on you for those who are just really just making a decision just unilaterally and what works best for them. Because what we're going to see is we're going to start to see another spike. Because where do you think these kids are going to? They're going home. They're going home. So they're going to bring that home to the parents who are out there in the working place. And it's going to go from the work. You see where I'm going.
Listen, but I know for us, right? It's been a while since we've been to high school. It's been a while. But if you realize how close in range they are, I don't care if it's not a full building at all. I don't care. If you ever even been to a high school basketball game or football game, you understand that they're in close proximity. So if one has it, it's like, you know that movie Outbreak? Have you remember that movie with the little monkey?
Yeah.
That's what it's going to be. It's going to be an outbreak.
No, that's facts. I was talking to an employee the other day, and she was telling me, she was like, yeah, they're doing it where you can go face-to-face or you can opt out. And she said, I opted out. She's like, because I ain't got time. A lot of people at that school, they like to hug and do. She said, I ain't got the time. And I was like, shout out to you for making that decision, because I remember high school. I remember the things I saw in the halls and everything like that. So you can't tell me these kids are going to wear a face mask, let alone not hug. You mean to tell me people who've been in quarantine and haven't been able to chill with their friends and do stuff outside, they're just going to wave 6 feet apart and just say, hey, stop it.
And that's the thing. And then again, Genesis School, they're offering each kid 2 masks. Because some people send their kids to school without masks, but we ain't going to go there. So not only are you sending your child to school, but you send them out the equipment they need to actually make it back safe, whatever. But a lot of schools, again, don't have the financial means as Genesis School. So it does make a difference because these kids are going back and a lot of schools don't have the money to give them all masks and to give them all hands. And then think about it. Oh my God, I watched a meme somewhere. And it was like, imagine you sending your child to school with a Paw Patrol's mask and they come back with Spider-Man mask.
Oh,
think about that, right? Like, think about these little kids who like, oh, I like your mask. I like your mask too. Let's swap.
Oh my gosh, that's scary.
It is. So I'm just like, but you know what? I digress.
Yeah. So for those who have kids who are really getting back into this, please take the necessary precautions. Do your research. Send your kids with the mask. Sit down with them and please explain to them the seriousness of social distancing and take advantage of the resources that are offered in your community. Sometimes you really have to dig in and do some research because it's sad, but sometimes communities do offer stuff, but they don't post it. They don't make it easily accessible. You have to really dig. So do your due diligence out there. Keep these kids safe. We love the kids here. Keep the kids safe.
We do love the kids.
Yes, as always, guys, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it. We are available on all platforms, wherever podcasts are heard, streamed, or downloaded. So please listen to the Hans and Tristan podcast. As always, we're available on YouTube now, so you can see our lovely faces, well, Tristan's lovely face, on YouTube and what she got going on and her many different hairstyles and outfits. Yes. So definitely check us out on YouTube. Tell your friends, guys, and we appreciate it. Hit us up on Instagram. We're there. We're on social media. As a Hans and Tristan podcast on IG. So hit us up. Let us know what you think. Let us know what you want to hear. We appreciate it, guys. Thank you for joining us. And we'll see you guys next week.
Bye.